In this week's market update, winners and losers as markets diverge, the Fed's in focus at a virtual Jackson Hole meeting, and a late summer economic health check across Europe. The most widely watched stock market index, the S&P 500, remains close to its all-time high, but elsewhere investors are facing some headwinds. Markets usually move in parallel, so what's going on? Well, the US market and others that are still closely linked to it continue to ride high on the back of a blockbusting second quarter earnings season and the hope that policy will remain supportive. Yes, there are concerns about the upsurge in Delta infections in the US. The percentage of hospital beds being occupied by COVID cases has risen in recent weeks from about 2% to 12%, for example. But the outlook for growth and earnings remains positive. The most obvious divergence from this still optimistic outlook is in China, and notably in Hong Kong. The problem here is the fear that Beijing's recent clampdown on a range of sectors, including financial technology, education and gaming, will restrict profits and create a much more uncertain trading environment. This has seen Chinese technology shares traded in Hong Kong fall sharply, sending the Hang Seng index into a bear market, 20% below its February peak, led by internet and e-commerce stocks like Alibaba. The latest blow has been the announcement of a new data law, similar in intention to Europe's GDPR data privacy regulations, which will take effect in November. Chinese stocks quoted in the US have also borne the brunt of the regulatory clampdown. The Nasdaq Golden Dragon Index of large US-listed Chinese shares fell 10% last week, and it's down by a half since February. Healthcare stocks in Hong Kong were also under pressure after the People's Daily, a guide to Communist Party thinking, pointed to greater regulation of online prescriptions, which it said were a topic of social concern. Other areas where Beijing is seemingly taking the side of social cohesion rather than corporate profits is in the sale of alcoholic drinks, where post-work drinking is seen to be a problem. Outside of stock markets, some commodities are also struggling. Starting in the spring, commodity-related shares started to underperform, even as the prices of metals and oil were still enjoying the bull market that started in the spring of 2020. Just as they had at the bottom, however, share prices were the canary in the coal mine, and commodity prices have rolled over recently. Partly this is a reflection of dollar strength, which increases the cost of commodities which are priced in the US currency. The dollar has been on an upswing since June and now threatens to overtake its peak in the spring and head back towards the levels it enjoyed during the worst of the pandemic. The dollar is seen as a safe haven, so increasing worries about the global economy can trigger a flight to safety in the US currency. One commodity that's been hit hard over the past year is gold, which responds to different forces than industrial metals, but is similarly hurt by a strong dollar. A key determinant of the right price for gold is the so-called real interest rate, which falls as inflation increases if nominal interest rates remain low. That should make gold more attractive, but this time around, that relationship has broken down. One possible explanation for why that should be the case is the emergence of a new alternative currency, the role typically played by gold, but which is now more and more the preserve of Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies. Bitcoin has recently moved off its low below $30,000 and is heading back above $50,000, with some pointing to a target above $100,000 for the current upswing. The momentum of Bitcoin reduces the speculative appeal of gold, and it continues to languish below $1,700 an ounce. The key event this week on the policy front is likely to be the Jackson Hole Symposium. Usually, this is a widely watched gathering of economists, central bankers, and the media at a mountain resort in Wyoming. This year, due to COVID, it's a curtailed one-day virtual event, but that doesn't mean it won't be important. In particular, the event is the opportunity for Fed Chair Jay Powell to give some clues about the timing of the proposed tapering of the current $120 billion monthly purchases by the US Central Bank of government debt. A taper is expected to begin later this year, although the minutes of the Fed's July meeting showed that there's disagreement among Fed officials about when the reduction should begin. The challenge facing the Fed is that it's been a lot more successful in managing the growth and employment side of its mandate than it has in controlling inflation, the second key measure. Its third job, ensuring financial stability, has also got more challenging as risk assets like shares have continued to surge, raising concerns about volatility ahead. Inflation is the big unknown for the Fed. Although it didn't rise any further in July, the consumer price index is still 5.4% higher than a year ago, and producer prices are growing even faster by 7.8%. The message from many of the company results announcements in recent weeks was that while earnings continue to grow for now, the outlook is clouded by higher costs and supply chain disruptions. The problem with supply chains has been highlighted recently by a surge in the cost of shipping goods across the world's oceans, 5 or 6 times the cost at the beginning of the year. That's partly due to persistent bottlenecks at ports all around the world. It's estimated that 350 giant ships with the capacity to carry 2.4 million 20-foot boxes are waiting off ports. Nearly 5% of global shipping capacity is idle currently. Investors will therefore be watching what Mr. Powell has to say even more closely than usual this week. Meanwhile, there's better news for income investors. The latest version of the Janus Henderson Global Dividend Index, which analyses the dividends paid by the 1,200 largest companies in the world by market capitalization, points to a strong recovery in dividends this year. Globally, dividends jumped by 26% year on year in the second quarter and now stand just 7% below their level in the second quarter of 2019. 84% of companies increased their dividends or held them steady compared with a year ago, when many companies were forced or chose to cut their payouts to shareholders. Janus Henderson now expects total dividends paid this year to reach $1.39 trillion, up from its previous estimate of $1.36 trillion. That would be just 3% below the pre-pandemic peak. And finally, in a quiet week for corporate news, the main attention will be focused on economic data, with Purchasing Managers Index data expected in many countries this week. Here in the UK, a third consecutive monthly decline was expected, although when it came out this morning, it was larger than forecast. The reduction in the composite PMI to 55.3 in August was a reflection of the spread of the Delta variant and the so-called pingdemic, as higher numbers of people were obliged to stay at home after coming into contact with someone experiencing a positive COVID test. However, the reading was still well above the 23-year average of the series and well above the 50 mark that separates economic contraction and expansion. The UK economy is therefore still growing well, driven by buoyant consumer spending. And over in the rest of Europe, businesses last month recorded their fastest expansion in 2 decades. So it was encouraging that the August PMI data there also emerged strong at 59.5, just behind the 60.2 recorded in July. There's still an element of catch-up after a slower rebound from the pandemic in Europe than in other developed economies.
Please be aware the value of investments and the income from them can go down as well as up, so you may not get back what you invest. This information does not constitute investment advice and should not be used as the basis for any investment decision, nor should it be treated as a recommendation for any investment. Investors should also note that the views expressed may longer be current and may have already been acted upon. Reference to specific securities should not be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell these securities and is included for the purposes of illustration only. Fidelity Personal Investing does not give personal recommendations. If you are unsure about the suitability of an investment, you should speak to an authorised financial advisor. This podcast may not be reproduced or circulated without prior permission. It is meant for UK residents and does not constitute an offer or solicitation in any jurisdiction in which it may be unlawful to make such an offer or solicitation. No statements or representations made in this podcast are legally binding on Fidelity or the recipient. Issued by Financial Administration Services Limited, authorised and regulated in the UK by the Financial Conduct Authority. Fidelity, Fidelity International, the Fidelity International logo and F symbol are trademarks of FIL Limited.